I'm reading one verse of Scripture in this great discourse Jesus gave on the heavenly bread. And that is verse number 35. John 6, 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Notice this great claim of Christ. I am the bread of life. I feel it's my assignment in these services to call to our attention some of the personal claims of Christ. Last night, we looked at the I knows of Christ. I called it the sovereign claims of Christ. Yes. You can't say you know everything. I've met a few people who thought they did. But I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus knows it all.
Yes.
And we looked at four of those great I know claims last night. The sovereign claims of Christ. Tonight, I want us to look at the great I am of Christ. We're going to stay in John's Gospel with them, and I'll only comment on them briefly and move to the next one. You know that that great I am name, that great I am title, has to do with God's sufficiency. And so tonight, having emphasized last evening the sovereign claim of Christ, I know tonight I want to emphasize the sufficient claims of Christ. I am. Now this is rooted in God's revelation to Moses at the burning bush. Moses said, Lord, who shall I tell them sent me? And the Lord said, I am that I am. It's an interesting title, isn't it? I am that I am. When it's broken down, it indicates I will become what I will become. Some have rendered it, I will be what I will be. The idea is he's everything that his people need. He's sufficient. He's adequate. And of course, the great I am claim of Christ is in the present tense. Not I was or I will be, but I am right now. And that's my interest tonight. My interest is to magnify Christ as sufficient for you right now. Where you are right now. Where I am right now. He's all we need. You don't have to prop him up. He doesn't need anything to lean on. You need him to lean on. And so my emphasis is on the sufficient claims of Christ. I read an article recently where the report was that the Iraqi forces are not yet self-sufficient to assume full responsibility of their nation's security. And the article went on to encourage our country to be cautious in just up and pulling out of Iraq, which I think is true. As much as I wish we weren't in war, I still feel the need for us to fight on that front, as much as I detest the loss of human life. I believe that it is a cause worthwhile. They're saying the Iraqi forces are not sufficient. Well, I want to say tonight, You are not sufficient. On the front that you face, I am not sufficient. On the fronts that I face. Like I said, oh, you don't know me. I'm just different. I've got a different personality and a different background. And a whole lot like my daddy or a whole lot like my mama. Yeah, we've probably already met you in some other form. Somebody as wonderful as you certainly couldn't be confined to one region, one realm. Now, the fact is, dear friend, we all come to a point, some of us sooner, some of us later, but we come to a point where we realize we are not sufficient. I think one of the first times that I felt my total inadequacy was when the doctor told us that our 14-month-old daughter had a mass inside of her that was taking up about 60 to 70% of her body cavity. And I'll never forget that feeling. What can I do? What? I couldn't do a thing. I was totally inadequate. But while we are insufficient in ourselves, our sufficiency is of God. So for a few minutes, I want us to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We'll begin here in John 6 with the first great I am statement of John's gospel. I am the bread of life. To me, these words teach us that Jesus is sufficient for our spiritual dearths or famines. At our best, we cannot sustain the inner man. Now, we are to encourage ourselves in God. We are to pray, building up ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. We are to absorb the truths of the Scriptures and draw from the strength of divine revelation. But there are times when our inner man seems to be famished and we go through a dearth. Ah, the Lord Jesus said, I am sufficient for your spiritual dearths. I am the bread of life. Now, I've been knowing this for a long time, and some of you can see it tonight as well, but I have a bread problem. My problem is not salad or green beans or carrots. My problem is bread. I like homemade bread. I like store-bought bread. I like warm bread. I like cold bread. I like soft bread. And having been overseas several times through the years, I found out I even like hard bread. I've got a bread problem. I'm constantly battling it, finding myself wanting to reach for another piece of bread. And I've been asking the Lord, Lord, help me. If I have such a desire for physical bread, I have such an appetite for that is not so good for me. Could you increase my appetite for the spiritual bread? Jesus said, when you feel like you're in a famine and your soul is not nourished properly, I am sufficient for your spiritual dearths. And then I want you to turn to chapter 9 with me. John chapter 9. Now this I am statement is also found in chapter 8. is a repeated statement. But in John chapter 9 and verse number 5, Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. I would say, secondly, as the bread of life, Jesus is sufficient for our spiritual thirst. But as the light of the world, Jesus is sufficient for our spiritual darkness. This is a world of darkness. Light is a gift of God. Spiritual light is a gift of God. Just as God created the sun, said, let there be light previously, and then gave the sun to rule by day and the moon to rule by night. I want to tell you that same God has commanded the light to shine out of the darkness into our dark hearts and give illumination in the light of the Lord Jesus. Spiritual darkness. Somebody said, oh, well, I'm a Christian. Yeah, but I want to tell you that dark air is in our minds. I stand amazed at some of the dark things that I can think of. And not even try. It's just that. I've thought about my past life. I know that some of that has something to do with it. But then some of you have had maybe a worse past than I have. I think it's not just rooted in my past. It's rooted in our fallen nature. There's darkness in us. And if there's any light, it'll have to come from the Lord Jesus. I said to the Lord the other day, Lord, I don't know where something like that came from. Please have mercy on me. Please forgive me. I tell you, He's able to put light where there's darkness. Not only darkness in our thoughts, but darkness in our attitudes. I can get back at people so good in my attitude. I can set the whole stage. I can imagine what they're going to say the next time I see them. And then I can imagine what I'm going to say in retaliation. Oh, don't look at me like that. You've got that in you too. I'm not preaching to heavenly angels tonight. I'm saying there's darkness in our thoughts. Darkness in our attitude. That old get even at it. Get back. He said that, I tell you, I'll get even. I'll say something. There'll be another day. Then the Holy Ghost smites our hearts. And we cry out, oh wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And Jesus says, I will. I am the light of the world. I am sufficient for all your spiritual darkness. And then come with me to chapter 10. There's another great I am statement here that's repeated. You'll find it in John chapter 10 and verse 7. Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Then it's repeated even to a further measure in verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, he's talking about the sheep and the enemy. He come down in verse number 10. He's already talked about the stranger. Back in verse 5. Then in verse 10, he talks about the thief. In verse number 12, he talks about the hireling. There's some enemies that would hurt us and take advantage of us, put us in various places of bondage. But Jesus said, don't get your eyes on the strangers. Don't get your eyes on the thieves and the robbers. Don't get your eyes on the hireling. Keep your eyes on the shepherd. I will lead you as a door. I'll be your door. You know, in that makeshift, fold, not the fold that's mentioned early on in this chapter. That seems to be more of a general fold where several shepherds may have left their sheep there for the night. And then they call their sheep the next morning and they come out from that big group of sheep. But in verse number 7 and following, he's talking about being the shepherd of the sheep out in the wild. And out in the wild, the shepherd doesn't have a big building or some covering like is mentioned early on with a porter guarding the door. So he runs his sheep up in an area where there's a little mountainside or maybe a rock cliff. He may get some sticks and put around certain parts. And then he lays down at the opening. He himself becomes the door. And Jesus said, that's what I am for my people. I am the door. I'll deliver them from the enemy. I'll deliver them from the thieves and the robbers and all their enemies. I am sufficient for their spiritual deliverance. Look at this with me. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're not a Christian, Jesus said, if you want to be saved, you can enter in by me. You've got to come to Jesus. You enter into the fold of God through Jesus. He's the door of the sheep. But then he said, you'll not only be saved, but you'll be so delivered, you can go in and you can go out. I'm going to keep you from spiritual bondage. I am all you need. I am sufficient for your spiritual deliverances. I preached some this past year from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where Paul talked about how the Lord had delivered him and how he was delivering him. And he said, no doubt, he will yet deliver me. And so it is with you and me tonight. Somebody said, well, I don't need deliverance. I'm a Christian. Yeah, but if you go in and out of the fold of God, the enemies are still out there. And you need his deliverance time and time and time again. I'm not here tonight because I've been such a good sheep. I'm here tonight because I've got such a good shepherd. He delivers and delivers and delivers again. Then I want you to turn with me in this same context to verses 11 and 14. Here Jesus stresses his shepherdhood. In verse 11, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And again in verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. I hadn't planned to say much about this, but you did notice he said it three times. good shepherd. I'd like to say publicly, our shepherd is not a bad shepherd. He's not a hireling. Oh, no. He's a good shepherd. There's an old boy in our part of the country, I love to hear him pray. He uses the word good over and over. He said, "Father, we come to you in Jesus' good name." And he said, "I want to thank you for your good grace. And Lord, we thank you for getting together here and worshiping with your good people." And he just keeps adding on. I tell you, before he finishes, I can't help it. It just blesses me. All he can see is how good God is and how good God is through his own. I say, beloved, here Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." Good. How you doing, Tom? Oh, I got a good shepherd. As old brother Ted Huntley said on one occasion, somebody's trying to pick at him. He'd been having some trials. They said, "How you doing?" He said, "Boys, I don't have any sad reports to turn in." I'd like to say tonight, I have no sad reports to turn in. The Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on. I would say, fourthly then, Jesus is sufficient for our spiritual direction. He's the shepherd. You know, if he gave his life for the sheep, he's not going to leave us to ourselves in life's journey. He's going to lead us. He said, "I know my sheep and am known of mine." Now, I used to preach, and forgive me, I feel like this is growing in grace. I don't think I'm going backwards. But I used to preach that God didn't need us. We just need him. Well, that sounds good. I like it. But it's better than that. If he's a shepherd, then he needs me so he can show what kind of shepherd he is in the life of a pitiful little sheep. That's right. And he does need his people. They need his direction. You remember, the Palestinian sheep couldn't see very far ahead of itself. It was easily moved astray. It was easily led out of the way. But oh, a faithful shepherd would stay close to the flock. In fact, I read where even in a storm at night or in some kind of foggy environment, when the little Palestinian sheep had no idea where the shepherd was, that he'd take his staff, that long, crook-necked object, and he'd find him a rock close by, and he'd tap his staff on that rock to let his little sheep know that he's close by. I want to tell you, there's been a few times I couldn't track God. I couldn't sense where he was. I couldn't see exactly how he was going. And then about that time, the shepherd would say, "I'm right here close. I'm right here close." I bless him. I thank him that he's sufficient for all our spiritual directions. Amen. Sounds like some of y'all feel that way too. Yeah, that's right, sister. Bless your heart. Yeah, that's right. My wife asked me recently. She said, "What about your funeral?" And I said, "Honey, how romantic. How encouraging." She said, "Well, you've been awful sick." I said, "Well, I have, but I wasn't planning on checking out." We talked a little bit about it. And I tried to tell her a thing or two, what I'd like and what I wouldn't like. Forgive me for my sarcasm, but see, I've heard it all. That's bad. I've heard all the singers. That's bad. It can leave a bad taste in your mouth for some people. And I've heard everything. Yeah, that's bad. I know y'all are able to let it go in one ear and out the other, but somehow mine gets trapped. And when I see certain people, I think certain things. I told my wife, I said, I'm not going to tell you who to get to sing at my funeral, but I'm going to tell you who I don't want to sing. Wasn't that awful? And I told her. We talked on a few minutes. And I said something to her about what I wanted sung. I used to think I just wanted songs like There Is a Fountain and songs of worship at the cross. I love congregational singing. But I've changed my thoughts. One song, I don't care really what else they sing, but I want somebody to sing Jesus Led Me All the Way. Or have the whole group to sing All the Way, the Savior Led Me. I confess to you, I don't have enough sense. I don't have enough spiritual vision. I don't have enough spiritual sensitivity to go the way I ought to go. But I'm here tonight because I have a faithful shepherd who guides and leads and directs when we can't see the way. Look at chapter 11 at the fifth great I am statement. You know the context involves Lazarus' death. Jesus came, and as soon as Mary heard he was coming, Martha ran out to meet him. And she was living in hurt and pain, and so she dwelt on the past. She said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And Jesus said, thy brother shall rise again. And she jumped all the way from the past. Where have you been, Lord, if thou hast been here, to the future? I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. That's verse 24. She was a bona fide Baptist. She's living in the past 1 minute. Boy, didn't we used to have some great services. Like the ones they're having now, just don't come up. And if they're not living in the past, talking about the services, oh boy, we used to have some meetings. Then they'll jump out in the future and say, I can't wait till they get to heaven. We'll shout all over the place when they get there. Well, won't you break out now? Get set free now. Not the way you get to heaven. But see, we live in the past 1 minute, in the future the next. That's where Martha was. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're missing it, honey. I am. Verse 25. I am, right now, the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He said, Martha, I'll take care of this right now. That's what he said to the thief on the cross, wasn't it? The thief said, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. Jesus said, well, I'll just take care of it right now. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Today. And here Jesus said, Martha, you're talking about the resurrection morning? I am the resurrection morning. I am the resurrection and the life. This is my little thinking here. But if he's the resurrection, that's enough to get Lazarus up. If he's the resurrection and the life, that's enough to keep him up. I believe the same God who saves is the same God who keeps and sustains and enables. So Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He is sufficient for our spiritual deadness. When things seem lifeless, when there's no breath in that prayer, when there's no life in that Bible reading, when there seems to be no animation in your worship, and it's all dead, Jesus said, I can take care of that right now. I am the resurrection and the life. Oh, may some heart get a hold of that tonight. He's sufficient. He's sufficient. Come with me to chapter 14. Here we have the sixth I am statement of Jesus. You're familiar with it. Perhaps it's the best and well known. Best known or most familiar I am statement. Thomas asked the question. You ever want your children to be quiet? Be quiet, be quiet. Don't ask him. Don't do that. I'm so glad Thomas got to ask this question. Verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the way to the Father's heart. He's the way to the Father's house. I'm going to say from these three statements, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is sufficient for our spiritual departures. Of course, we know the sinner by nature has gone away from God. They're all gone out of the way, Paul said in Romans 3. They're all gone out of the way. I know some of you don't think your grandchildren have gone out of the way. You ever hear people say, look at that little angel. Maybe a fallen angel. That's right. I want to tell you, they've all gone out of the way. Every one of them. And so Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am sufficient for all your spiritual departures. For the sinner and for every erroneous path we choose as Christians, Jesus said, I'm sufficient for that. You remember the tabernacle in the wilderness? It had three entrances. It had the outer gate. Then it had the door that led into the sanctuary. And then there was the veil that led into the Holy of Holies. Three entrances, three passages. I like to think that Jesus may have had that in mind. Because you see, the people could only come into God because God had come out to them. We love Him because He first loved us. But Jesus said here, get it now, I am the way, that's that gate, and the truth, that's that door into the sanctuary, and the life, that's that veil. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I am sufficient for all your spiritual departures. Somebody said, but preacher, I've got away from God. I just don't feel right. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't believe the Lord's going to let me enjoy Him again. Why don't you quit looking at yourself and look at the sufficient Christ? He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Put all that together and see He's your way back to the Father. It's not how you feel and what you think. It's Run to Jesus. Get to Jesus. Jesus is sufficient for our spiritual departures. Before we go our way, I want you to look at chapter 15. Here Jesus repeats himself again. It must be important if he repeats it, huh? Verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And then that special emphasis in verse 5. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. That is, he's sufficient for our spiritual dearths, our famines in the soul. He said, I am the light of the world. Jesus is sufficient for our spiritual darkness. He said, I am the door. Jesus is sufficient for our spiritual deliverances. He said, I am the good shepherd. Jesus is sufficient for our spiritual direction. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Jesus is sufficient for our spiritual deadness. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is sufficient for our spiritual departures. But according to these verses, you and I are totally barren. I don't care how much fruit we think we're producing. We are totally, completely, entirely barren and desolate apart from drawing on His life. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. Jesus is sufficient for our spiritual desolations, our spiritual barrenness. I said, well, I used to bear fruit. I remember when I was bearing fruit. I remember I could bear fruit. Listen, you don't have to be a has-been and a used-to-be. You can draw on Jesus now. And really, it's not you and me bearing fruit. It's Him bearing His life through us. G. Campbell Morgan, that great expositor of another day, in one of his sermons in the Westminster pulpit, reminds us that the vine is the whole thing. The root, all the little stems, all the tendrils, all the grapes, all the blossoms, all the branches, the vine is the whole thing. So Jesus was saying, I'm the whole thing. And the branches are just privileged to be joined to Him who is the whole thing. Ah, dear friend, He's everything tonight. He wants to produce His life through us. I've heard it several times, and in years gone by, I thought, I'm not going to use that. I think there are better illustrations. But I don't know. I think it's very practical. I'm going to use it tonight. You know that if you need to write a check, you've got to have something in your account. You don't just say to somebody, here's a blank check. Y'all going to build a new building at New Hope. Here's a blank check. Just fill it in. Because you may not have the funds wherewith to back up that check. But God in His awesome sufficiency, Christ in His absolute adequacy, says to us tonight, here's a blank check. You just fill it in and I'll be everything you need me to be. If you need to get out of your spiritual dearth, I am the bread of life. If it's your deadness you need to get out of, I am the resurrection and the life. He's everything we need. I know we sing it, Christ is all I need, but He is. May somehow the blessed Holy Ghost help us to see the Christian life is Christ in us. Jesus is sufficient for every area.